Ready for our study in the Word of God, and we are been dealing for a couple of weeks in Psalm 86, and so don't want you to get lost on where we are in all this. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who people is the teacher. I know I say that to where it just rolls over, but I mean that. He is the teacher, and He will open your mind to the truth. And when things are not the truth, I believe the Holy Spirit puts up a red flag. Somebody's not straight on the gospel. They're just a little tinge in your soul. Like, wait a minute. That's distorting it just a little bit, or greatly, but that's a distortion of the simplicity of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit does these things when we allow Him to be our teacher by walking by faith and trusting in Him. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. It is a light to our path. It, Heavenly Father, reveals to us who and what You are and how we can relate to You. And Father, we pray now Your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of Scripture. And Father, we will understand our relationship with You. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I don't want you to lose sight of where we are. Let's just spend a couple of minutes here. Open your Bibles to John 13. John 13. That's water. John 13, and let's look at verses 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, I, Jesus Christ, give to you, that you love one another. Another of the same kind, it's another believer, that you love one another as, just as, I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by loving one another as I've loved you, all, forget the word men, it's not there, all angels and mankind will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another. So, love cannot be seen in and of itself, but the manifestation of it can be seen. Now that, from there we go to 1 Corinthians 13. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. And the positive dissertation begins in verse 4. Love. This is spiritual love. I decided a long time ago, call it spiritual love. We have spiritual gifts. Gifts by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love just, to me, made sense. Spiritual love. A love that is given to a spiritual creation, a born-again believer, by the Holy Spirit for spiritual impact. Spiritual love is, and then we have 16 impacts of spiritual love in this following passage. And from there, we just got beginning there, and we went to Exodus 34. So let's go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Verse 6. Exodus 34, 6. Then the Lord passed by Moses in front of him, and the Lord proclaimed, that this is the Lord speaking, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Now, people, this is God, the Lord, describing himself, his own attributes. Now, of course, I don't want you to not include and understand in your mind sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, veracity, and immutability. But these deal with the relationship we have with Him and the relationship that He has with us. And spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? God. This is the way God loves. So the love that He pours into us is going to imitate, be of the same caliber as His love. And that took us to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Verse 15. This is a psalm written by David. And gets down to verse 15. And he says, "But you, O Lord, are a God." Now, you've got to understand, I'm very happy and pleased. Kit's gotten really excited about Psalm 86 and went to Dallas Seminary Library, spending time in there, and sees and digs out a lot of things that I don't. And what David probably had was Exodus right there in front of him when he wrote this, and just made sure that he was saying the same thing as that the Lord had said. Yes. I tell you, I love, we're a small assembly, but I love the caliber of people we have here. Wednesday night, and Phil, I wish you had said it in the class, but we were talking about in Acts 19 how this silversmith was saying that Paul was teaching that which is made by hands is not a god. And then when the man was, when the city clerk was trying to calm everyone down, he said that, how do you word it, the Zeus, from Zeus, so it came down from Zeus, so it wasn't even made by hands, the goddess that they're worshiping. And that was a very good point. I went back and looked at that. That's a very good point. And there's just so much in the Word of God that is so powerful. And here in Psalm 86, verse 15, we have David actually reading from the Torah, which he has it is right there in front of him. "But you, O Lord, are God." And then he translates. Now, in the New American Standard, in the Exodus passage, the first one was compassionate. And in the NASB, in Psalm 86, the first word is merciful. Well, as I've told you, it's the same Greek word. So the fact that the English people want to do something differently, it's the same Greek word. And so we have dealt with how He is merciful or compassionate. Now, people, you could say, yes, that's His love, and move on. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to be pointing out to you, either this morning or next week, how do we differentiate between mercy and compassionate and gracious and these words and love. How, you can't just say, yeah, these are extension of love, and let's move on. We got His love. No. I want you to understand what these are. The compassion of the Lord, and then the grace of the Lord. And now this morning we have moved to slow to anger. Now the King James says long suffering. Now they don't use the word anger, and they don't use the word slow, but they use the word long suffering. And what that means is long suffering before He expresses His anger. Now, we all understand about anger, don't we? All of us understand that. So, let's just note a few things by way of introducing, getting into our flow this morning. One, anger is used of God and of man. When used of man, it often refers to a mental attitude sin of anger, but not always, but most often it does. Point two, when used of God, anger, when used of God, is an anthropopathism. I'm not insulting anyone, but putting myself out there years ago, anthropopathism. That's a 50-cent word, and it comes from the Greek, anthropos, which means human, and pathos, P-A-T-H-O-S, which means suffering. And what this word means is, it is an attributing of a human quality, a human emotion, or an ascription of human feelings or passions to deity. So simply stated, it takes the thoughts of man and ascribes them to God that we can understand them. So that's what an anthropopathism is. And so it ascribes to God a feeling that we can at least understand in that sense. Now, when it is used of God, it is an expression of His perfect righteousness or divine judgment. His perfect righteousness has been violated, and He is opposed to what is being done according to His righteousness, and therefore His divine judgment, justice. That's very important in the essence of God, righteousness, or sovereignty, righteousness, justice. And justice is a manifestation of the anger of God, which is a manifestation of the indignation of His righteousness. So that's what we're dealing with when we talk about the anger of the Lord. Point three. So point three, main thing is, God is righteous. Can't ever forget that. Yes, He's love, but He's righteousness. And when His righteousness is violated, it evokes an antagonism to His righteousness, which we ascribe as anger. Now, point three. As a mental attitude sin, anger expresses antagonism, even hatred, resentment, exasperation, irrationality. It can be mental or emotional or both. The Greek word orge, O-R-G-E, is used to usually express mental anger, while the Greek word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, is generally used to refer to or express emotional anger. Now, open your Bibles to Colossians 3:8. I'm so glad we're in Colossians. I found it just so involved in so many areas of the Bible. So let's look at Colossians 3:8. Well, we have both of these words mentioned. But now, you also, believers, now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, put them all aside. Anger, orge, O-R-G-E, a emphasis on mental anger. Wrath, what's the difference between orge, or anger, and wrath? Wrath is the Greek word thumos, emphasizes emotional anger. And so anger and wrath are so fundamental to our flesh nature. Now, how is that possible? Please don't ever forget, your flesh nature has an immune system. That means there's a system in our flesh nature that wants to protect the flesh nature. And two of the antigens of our flesh nature are anger and wrath, like jealousy. These things, like, it's like a foreign particle that comes into our body the antigens of our body go to that area and work around it, isolate it, so that it doesn't give disease to the whole body. It's protecting us. And something like AIDS, what is AIDS? AIDS is a breakdown in the immune system where the immune system does not recognize it as an enemy. And it ends up destroying the human body. So it is with the human, with our flesh nature. Think of these things, anger, wrath, jealousy. These are protections of our flesh nature. Somebody's being complimented, and your flesh nature says, well, wait a minute, what about me? What about me? Don't forget me. See? Become jealous. And if it gets even worse, becomes angry mentally. And then it starts expressing itself emotionally. These are to protect our flesh nature. So it's very common throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the first thing mentioned in the Colossians 3:8 passage. Put it aside. Anger and wrath. These are two things designed to protect our flesh nature. Now, look at Ephesians 4:31. A lot of what Paul will say in Ephesians is in Colossians, or a lot of in Colossians is in Ephesians. So, let's look at Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I like Paul. He lists here, he'll say bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. And in case I missed anything, just all kind of malice. Just put the whole thing out. He kind of covers himself so that he be sure he gets it. Now, the best way to understand bitterness, the best way I know how to just get that into your mind of a definition, think of a bitter taste. I'm assuming we've all tasted something bitter that we didn't expect it to be bitter when we put it in our mouth. And I still can't stand buttermilk. I don't like people to drink that stuff. That is the most nastiest stuff. But there are people who love it. See? But you put something in your mouth and it's bitter. Spit it out. That's the ideal of this word. As a mental attitude sin, it's aroused. And it arouses a number of reactions in life. Namely, thinking that one is being mistreated or not getting their way. So anger and wrath set in. Wrath, thumos, anger, or gay. Now, the question is, how do you put away from yourself bitterness, emotional anger, mental anger, clamor, whatever that means, slander, and all kinds of malice? How do you do that? Those are pretty strong. How am I going to put them away? It's very, very simple. Not easy, but very simple. Faith. Trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to put those things aside, put your rest back into the Lord, what we saw on New Year's Eve. See? So that's how it's done. Easy to say, not easy to do. Simple, but not easy to do. So that's how we do it. Now, this is what we studied on New Year's Eve on Psalm 37. Now, we stopped in Psalm 37 at verse 7. When I was studying this, I went, whoa, Herman, you stopped too soon. Open your Bibles to Psalm 37. Those of you that were able to be here New Year's Eve, we had a wonderful time studying seven and eight imperatives, seven of them from Psalm 37. Now, let's just quickly read to remind you again, because I'm going to tell you something. 2019 could get really bad as far as globalization, breaking down the standards that you and I are used to, like marriage between a man and a woman, morality, all of these kinds of things. So, How are we going to handle these things? Verse 3 of Psalm 37, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, that means to dwell in the things that we have in Christ, cultivate faithfulness. How do we cultivate it? Faith in the Holy Spirit. Delight yourself in the Lord. And there we saw about delighting ourselves in the study of His Word. Verse 5, commit yourself, your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And then I close with verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Just rest. That's how to handle 2019. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. These are two different imperatives, but New Year's Eve I took them both together. Rest and wait patiently for the Lord. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who carries out wicked schemes. Now, look at verse 8. This is what we want, I want to look at and why we're here. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. I saw that word. Whoa! Boy, the Holy Spirit slapped me in the face. I stopped too soon New Year's Eve night and didn't get to these two things. Well, he wanted to be sure we did, so he did it tonight in this study. So, verse 8. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Now, the Hebrew word for anger is the same word we have in Psalm 86, where God is slow to anger. The word wrath comes from the root word heat, hot, rage. When used in humans, it refers to emotional anger. So, if we wanted to force, and I do think that's what I'm doing, forcing a definition, with the first word would be our ideal of orgay, mental anger, and the second word, wrath, would be the emotional anger. See? And so the words wrath comes from that word heat, anger. When used of humans, we have to, you just tell it, get angry. You can feel the heat coming on. When you feel that heat coming on, get out of there. See? Go somewhere else. See? Now, what I like here, do not fret, see, it leads to evil doing. Continue verse 8. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. Fret about what? Fret about what's going on politically. Fret about what's going on economically. Fret about what's going on in the world. Don't fret about it. Don't fret about it. One of my examples here is a man that I did admire, and that was Tom Landry. Rarely did he get angry at referees. There would be a 15-yard penalty call. He just pull out a sheet. What do I do when it's third down and 84 yards, something like that? What do I do? Dave? He didn't get angry. He thought, this is what I got to do. This is the way it is. They now give me third down and 25 yards instead of a third down and just a couple of yards. Or maybe it should be a first down. Lost it. Don't fret about what you can't control. Don't fret about it. See? That's what we have here. So, what does fret means? It refers to a slow burning in your soul. You fret about life. You fret about money. You fret about your marriage. You fret about things going on in the world and things not going your way as you think they should. And here the Word of God warns us against allowing these things to fret, to simmer inside of us. And it starts off warm. But let me tell you something, it can get hot very quickly. And therefore, leads to evil doing. Look what verse 8 says. In verse 8, cease friend from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, for it leads only to evil doing. That's what it will lead to. Doing things that are in direct, what's evil doing? Things that are in direct opposition to the Word of God. For an example, adultery, promiscuity, murder. These are the things that happen to us. Think of just what I can do. You can tell I watch a lot of ID. I mean, I just go right to it. And but these things happen. And you fret about it. You fret about it. And pretty soon it becomes evil doing to take care of the problem. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. Leads only to evil doing. Now, how do you cease anger? How do you forsake wrath? See? How do you not fret? How am I not to fret about when things are not going right? Financially, health, money, marriage, work, life. I mean, I'm just not supposed to care. Of course I care. So, how am I supposed to not fret? Rest in the Lord. That's what that was, why that was given. Rest in the Lord. Just leave it up to Him. People, we trust Him with our eternal salvation. Think about that. We trust Him for the moment we die. It's all in your hands. Nothing I can do. It's up to you. So if you can trust Him with that, why can't we trust Him in life? It's up to you. Doesn't look good. Things aren't going right. We're going to have to just calm down and trust the Lord. See? Continue growing in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. When you feel anger, wrath, or fretting setting in, go to a closet somewhere. Go to private. Take out your Bible. Open your Word of God. Be sure you're in the Holy Spirit. Like, start with Psalm 37. Then go to Psalm 2 and start just reading. And watch what happens to your whole countenance, your whole inner makeup, how the fret just slowly goes into the shadows. Your anger goes into the shadows. It's really not important anymore. And you just slowly let. Now, what happens is a lot of times, I don't want that. I want to be angry at them. They're no good. See? I don't want to be. I want to be angry. Okay, then that's your problem. But if you don't want to be angry, and you want to nip the wrath and the fretting, just get it away, open the Word of God, go in the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to strengthen your soul and put your rest in the Lord. Okay? Let's go to point four. Anger frustrates an effective prayer life. Anger frustrates an effective prayer life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. First Timothy 2, verse 8. Anger frustrates prayer life. Like to brag about you like prayer, but not when you're angry. No one likes to pray when they're angry. See? Remind me of that scene in the movie Patton. They were doing a portrait. Somebody, some artist was painting George Patton. And he got a call and was very angry. And he hung up the phone. And the artist said, "Are we going to continue?" And he said, "No, nobody wants to look at an angry man." And so you don't want to pray. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. "Therefore," and that comes from based on truth, "I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath." Have you ever prayed when you're angry? Probably not a very effective prayer. "Get up, God!" See? That's not a very effective prayer. This is, the word here is, without wrath is harge, mental attitude anger. Anger that's in your soul, in your thoughts. God, strike them! See? And dissension. Without wrath, without dissension. People, you cannot pray for others when you have anger in your soul. You gotta nip it. If you want to have an effective prayer life, you've gotta nip anger. It's part of the human nature to be angry. It's part of our spiritual nature not to be. So that's the solution. And then point five. Anger, wrath, is motivation for retaliation. Revenge, which always violates many principles of the Word of God. When we have anger, wrath, we go through violating a lot of principles in the Word of God. Think about this if you, no, not if, when you've been angry. See? So, now if James were here, James, well, I'd say, well, except for James, probably never has been angry in his life, but he's not here for me to pick on anymore. So, but we've all experienced anger. So think about it. One, subpoint one, two wrongs do not make a right. Because they wronged you, and you get to wrong them, that doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right at all. Secondly, you cannot build your happiness on someone else's unhappiness. You can't do it. So you get even with them and hurt them. You're not going to be happy with that. You can't build your spiritual happiness on someone else's unhappiness. And that's what we try to do when we're angry. That'll make me feel good to see them crawl, see them beg, see them hurt. See? That'll make me feel good. Shame on us. Three, all discipline or straightening out must come from the justice of God. Not from your anger or wrath. All discipline, all judgment must come from the justice of God, not from our anger or our wrath. God knows all the facts. See? He knows where you were wrong, where they were wrong, all these kind of things. He knows the best way to take care of them. He knows the best way to take care of you. Trust Him. One of our movements in New Year's Eve study. Trust Him. Leave it to Him. He'll take care of it. God knows all the facts. See? Next, to get even by slander or revenge is to interfere with the justice of God. I don't trust you, God. I don't trust you to take care of this person, so I'm going to do it with my mouth. I'm going to do it with my schemes. I'm going to do it with my plots. See, you do not trust God. That's why that little beckoning in our New Year's Eve special, trust the Lord. That means trust Him when you're angry. Trust Him to take care of the situation. Trust Him to take care of the person. Trust Him to take care of those things. We've got to trust Him. And here's what happens. You see, if you get to trust Him and leave it with Him, then you're free to go on with learning and growing in the Word of God. You're ready to move on and to be a witness for Christ. But if you're over here, angry, bad-mouthing, revenge, all of this, you can't serve the Lord. You're occupied with this. So it becomes very important. Next, such actions from anger and wrath brings the wrath of God down on the wrath of man. So our anger brings the wrath of God down on the wrath of man, crushing unrighteousness. Anger with righteousness, with a righteous anger of God. So what I'm saying here is that here's the unrighteousness of man, and here's the righteousness of God comes down and takes care of the unrighteousness of man. And finally, anger or wrath at things out of your control, politics, reveals a total absence of resting in the sovereignty of God. Anger or wrath at things out of your control, politics, reveals a total absence of resting in the sovereignty of God. I often pick on the Democrats and Republicans, but if a Democrat understood the scriptures, understood what was going on. Of course, he wouldn't be against Trump, but just make my point here. Okay, Trump won. The Lord wanted that. I've got to move on with that. They can't do that. They've got to react. They got to react with their revenge, their hatred, their anger. It is what I hope you understand why they are so angry and why they are at such wrath against Trump. The whole establishment is for globalization. Trump is for America. Make America great. They don't want that. They want America to be part of the global establishment. That's what we have to remember. And Trump stands for America. Not for the globe, but for America. These high-minded people, no, it's globalization. That's what you got to think about. And that he won completely, just went in and took all of their, and they were moving very well. Both Bushes, Obama, Clintons, all of them, strong global people. Strong global people. And it was all going very well. And all of a sudden this outsider comes in and wins. He's not for globalization, he's for America. And they can't stand it. They cannot stand it. So what I'm saying to you is that what we have to do from our perspective, whatever happens in 2020, whatever happens in 2019, gotta trust the Lord. Don't fret. The Lord is in control. The more I learn of how the whole world, especially the UN, is totally global, and how America-minded Trump is, I'm with him. I'm with the Democrat. How in the world did he win? How in the world did he win? That's my question. And I know the answer. God. It's totally God. There is no other answer. There is no other answer. God. So, he's in control. Now, just to make my point, 2020, he's out. Someone else is in that's for globalization. Has God lost control? No. He's still in control. Don't fret. He's in control. Trust him. Trust him. Don't allow your fretting to become anger, and your anger to become wrath, and your wrath to move you away from your relationship with the Lord. Don't allow that. See? Just move on. The Lord's in control. You are responsible. We are responsible for our own area, for our own life. If you're single, your own single life. If you're married, your own married life. It is amazing the plans to dismantle marriage in globalization. For homosexuality, same-sex marriages, and all of these kind of things, it's all part of the design. We have to be responsible for our own morality, our own marriages, our own single life, our own spiritual life. That's all that I'm responsible for. That's all, and that's enough. Our part of intruding in the world is prayer. Pray for Trump. Pray for Pence. Pray for these people. See? Pray. But as far as our responsibility, it's our own individual lives. Okay. My goodness. Point six. You should always be aware of some of the results of anger. Some of the results of anger. A. Anger results in self-induced misery. Don't blame the other person for your misery. Your anger made you feel the way you do. It's self-induced. Let's look at Proverbs 22:8. Proverbs 22:8. Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. What is happening in this believer? He or she fails to rest in the Lord, trusting the Lord, and fails, therefore, to correctly interpret what's going on in your life, in the world, in your own circumstances. So you become frustrated, then angry, which results in self-induced misery. The solution all starts with just trusting the Lord, committing yourself to the Lord, two commands of our New Year special. Trust in the Lord, commit to the Lord. See? If you commit to something political, that's where your hope is. And the more that it's hurt, the more you're hurt. Commit to the Lord. He's always going to win. He's always going to win. When I put together a little booklet, I guess you'd call it, an introduction to our study of Revelation, the first page, when you open up the he wins. Whatever, we went through the last chapter and we read it. So we cheated. We didn't read it from the beginning. We cheated. He wins. See? So, just trust him. Commit to him. And you won't be disappointed. And you won't be ashamed. See? B. Anger is often related to chain sinning. I know you've heard of chain smoking. That's where you light one cigarette from another cigarette. See? That's a chain smoker. They hit the down at the nib on that one, and they pull out and they light their new one off of that. And so they just chain smoke. Chain sinning, you light one sin off of another sin. Let's look at Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews 12:15, see to it. I love those kind of commands. How am I supposed to do that? Faith in the Holy Spirit. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and by it may be defiled. This often happens when anger is consolidated with bitterness. Bitterness, hate, anger, frustration. You start fretting, become bitter, become angry, become wrath, and it just lights one on another. Nip it. Go into your closet. Open your Bible. Turn to Psalm 87. Turn to Psalm 2. Turn to Psalm somewhere in the Bible that you love. And think about that. Pray, go into the Holy Spirit. And people, let me tell you something. Sometimes it may take some time. There are just different things that happen in my life. I go into my office. And sometimes, I go right to my study. Go into prayer, go into work. Sometimes, I'll pray, try it, done there, not there, and just, it takes 30 minutes. 30 minutes just to get right with the Holy Spirit. Get my mind set on what I'm studying and let him guide me. See? But you just got to keep working at it. You don't say, well, I can't do it, I'm good. No, you keep working at it. It may take you some time in that little closet. See? By closet, I mean some private area. And take some time. But you want to nip it. You feel it coming. I'm beginning to fret. I'm beginning to get bitter. I can feel anger coming on, and then wrath, and then you're going on. You're going to explode. See? Next thing is going to be murder, something like that. So, nip it. Quickly. See? And the quicker you do it, the less time it'll take you to recover from it. But if you let it go from fretting to bitterness to anger, it's going to take you some time in that little closet. See? You can't do this while you're driving down the freeway. It's going to take some time. So you have to spend that time getting back with the Lord, straightening it out with the Lord. See, anger causes misery to those in your periphery. How about that? when you're angry, even if you're not angry at them, your anger is going to cause some misery to those around you. You will hurt those around you, and you're not even angry at them. But you're going to hurt them. Let's look first of all at Amos 1:11. Amos 1:11. Amos, a minor prophet. So if you find Daniel, you can just start going from Daniel and you'll come to Amos. Well, find Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and you'll find Daniel. And then you'll find Amos, and after Amos, you'll find Andy. No, it's not true. All right. All right. Amos 1:11. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because he pursued his own brother with the sword. While he stifled his compassion, his anger also tore continually, and he maintained his fury forever. You just go after those that are around you. Look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to live in the desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Maybe add this to my marriage study getting ready to come on. They might get into trouble, but nevertheless. I better leave that one alone without any comment. So let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22:24. I balance it out now. Give one for the ladies. Proverbs 22:24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. Ladies, if you're thinking of marriage, and he's an angry man, hot-tempered all the time, forget it. Now, all this, remember, ladies, all men are going to have their explosive moments. But this guy is continually angry, explosive at any little thing that doesn't go his way. Stay away from him. He'll cause you pain. He'll cause you hurt. He'll cause you misery. Let's look at Proverbs 25:24. Proverbs 25:24. It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. She'll cause you trouble. See? And don't get angry at me, people. I didn't write this. Get angry at God. He wrote this. This is His word. Okay? And finally, Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife in his surroundings. You may not even be the cause of his anger, but if you're in his area, you're in trouble. Strife. And a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression, chain sinning. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until he nips it. See? Okay, we're going to look at a few more things about anger, and then get back to the anger of God, and then get back in our study. So, let's close in a word of prayer. Get ready for our next study. Heavenly Father, sometimes when we study passages like this, we look in a mirror and we see ourselves. And Father, when we do, we just give thanks that You are slow to anger. By the natural flesh nature, we're quick to anger. You're slow. And we're so thankful. That gives us time to go into our closet, straighten out our attitude, our thinking, become empowered by your Spirit, occupied with your Word. Father, we just praise you for the God you are. We're so thankful. Father, we pray now your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning. Use these things for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.